Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Foster the Podcast, episode 188. I'm your host, Justin Foster. My lovely co-host, Michael Malone.
Hello, back
this
hello.
Week.
187 on a motherfucking
That was last
cop.
Week.
Oh, this sorry.
Is 188 on a...
We're sure.
80, you know, 88 is like... like alt-right, like neo-Nazi, like symbol for
well, that's... <'Cause it's laughs> I did not know that.
H-H, Hail Heil Hitler. So you see someone with the 8-8 tattoo. It's like it's there. It's our code for Heil Hitler. So glad to be on
your
episode.
Welcome to the show.
Mark H.G. is our guest. Mark H.G.
Hey, guys. I watched Sons of Anarchy. I know all about, like, prison tattoos.
Oh, man. Michael Malone is, again, my co-host, filling in for Christy. Thanks for all the tweets and the emails to Christy. I actually talked to her the other day. She's doing good. She's still on bed rest. She got mad at me because I was like, so what? She said, what's going on? She goes, that's just so frustrating. She goes, I wake up, I'm on my back. I go to bed, I'm on my back. Everything I do, I'm on my back. But it's your old college days. Oh, Mark, thanks for coming on. Is your internet still out? Last time we talked.
No, it was really, like I had panic attacks. Like I didn't realize how much you like need Wi-Fi now. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah. We have Apple TV and stuff. So like with no Wi-Fi, I can't watch TV or use my laptop. I couldn't really work.
Right.
So, it was like literally four days of just staring at the wall. Like, I read a book.
Oh no.
I know.
Oh,
it was
oh no.
It got that bad. Huh?
It got real dark over there in North Hollywood.
I had a book.
I had to talk to my wife. Well, I guess we should say Erin Morosky's been on this show. That's your lovely wife. She's been on this show so many times, and our fans love her. I'm glad to have you on.
I love talking to my wife, but we burned through like the next 20 years of conversation. So like, we kind of like, what are we, like,
where do we go now?
We just took 10 years off our marriage. It's a good thing we got married late.
That's great. Yeah, what did I always think about that too. Like, what did your grandma and grandpa do? Like, they spent every day together without Wi-Fi, without pretty half the time without cable, like anything like that. Like, they had to actually like live life.
Well, they worked a lot more, so they barely saw each other. Like, yeah, we didn't realize how much like we like. I think like devices create stress in your life because you're constantly getting work emails, but you're also getting them like while you're like taking a 2-hour lunch or you're at a bar or you leave early to pick up your kids. Like, it's created so much freedom. Like wife and I both are together working from home a lot, which wasn't a thing you could used to be able to do.
Right.
You used to be able to get up and your wife would cook breakfast, then you leave.
Right.
And then you come back and then you go to bed. It's like you'd have like three words, you know?
Yeah.
Marriage would last for 70 years. It's like, we've said 25 things to each other.
Exactly.
I love this woman.
Well, that's why I always wonder, like, people who get married like to their high school sweethearts. I'm like, you literally have nothing to talk about anymore. You guys have all the same experiences. Like, if you get married late, you can talk about, you know, the last 30 years of shit.
Or the last two times you were married, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is what I hated about the first wife.
Yeah. Yes, like, you're right. Like, I still have, like, every now and then I'll still hear a new story that my wife has.
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm never having the time in college or...
You're like, oh, yeah, I haven't told that story. You get excited.
The worst is when you go to tell the story and they've already heard it like at least twice. And you're like, hey, that reminds me. And they're like, yeah, we know.
We know.
You did the thing.
We
and
know.
And you're like, it was fun though, right?
My girl will do the thing. She'll let me tell it, right? And then I'll get halfway through and I'll be like, I've already told you this, haven't I? She's like, yeah, a couple times.
That's love, man. When you let somebody tell you that story again, that's what love is.
You ever at a couple's party and then the one person in the couple starts telling a story? It's like they have a shared story, and then the other person will interrupt them to tell part of it, and then they'll be like, "No, you're not telling it right."
Yeah.
It descends into a fight.
And then they autocorrect them, they fact check them.
Yeah, it's the best and the worst because they just unravel the story. You know, it always starts fun. We're at the pool. It wasn't a pool.
Yeah, it's like a sauna.
It was like a little sauna. The hotel, we didn't have a pool.
Right.
Okay, well, there was water.
Yeah.
There's people in it.
It's like they're fact-checking. It's like, I don't want my story to be totally true. I want it to be entertaining.
Right, yeah.
Stop Wikipedia-ing my story. Right.
Oh, my poor grandmother did that to my grandfather all the time. Well, no, it wasn't that. We were in the city. We were in the town a block away.
You just want to go, it doesn't matter.
Right, just get to the punchline. It's like a comic who just tells premises. It's just, I don't care. I don't think you've been on. Have you been on the show, Mary?
No, I mean,
I think you were like in the first couple episodes. I think you were. You guys were just dating.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What is Married Mark? What is like stuff that Married Mark does now that you wouldn't even imagine that you would have done a single Mark? I give you an example. I went apple picking this weekend.
Oh my God.
With the lady. And if you would have told me 3 years ago that I would have spent a Sunday apple picking, I would not have believed you.
Yeah, I mean,
it was 2.5 hours away too. She would. I was like, "There's a Ralph's down the street."
Did you go by horseback? Why did it take you 2.5 hours?
See, I think a lot of people blame stuff like you talk to a lot of dudes and they seem to blame their life getting more boring on their wife when in reality they just got older.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm glad I got married at, you know, when I was like 36. So my life was already getting boring. Right. So like I know it's not her fault. You know, it's right. It's not her fault I want to go to bed at 11:30. I just want to go to bed at 11:30. You know, so it doesn't like it does. I don't have the like. I mean, I've my taste and like my preferences have changed somewhat. You know, as I age, but I don't think it's. I guess I go to her improv shows. Is the one with I wouldn't have made as a single dude, but
it's so funny. Yeah, I was sitting there on a Sunday. We were driving up to the country to get a basket. And to go grab apples from a tree.
But it was nice, right?
It was amazing. Yeah. I loved it. It was so much fun. And now it's like...
You know, your friends are making fun of you. Right. Like, but it's like, they're like, but I had a really pleasant day. It was like, we're in the sunshine. Apples were delicious. We had some cider. You know, it's a good day.
It was nice. It was such a good day.
Yeah. But you could have done that the whole time. You didn't have to have a lady make you do it.
I know. But you have to have that. You have to have someone to blame it on. Yeah. Right? Like, oh, you know, she's making me go apple picking. Yeah. Inside, I'm like, I can't wait to go pick apples.
I realized that a couple years ago that like I'm generally happier if I do the things I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. My instincts are awful. Like if I left my own choices, I will make all the miserable choices. Like I remember I did a bar show down in one of the beach cities or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That is a terrible choice.
Yeah. And I got down there early trying to, you know, beat the awful traffic. And it's like it was right across like the PCH from the bar it was right across the PCH from the beach.
Uh-huh.
From one of the piers. And I was like, I could like walk out on the pier and watch the sunset.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I can just go to get the free drinks and watch a baseball game I don't want to watch at the bar. And all my instincts were like, free drinks.
Free drinks. Free drinks.
But I was like, no, I could watch the sunset over the Pacific Ocean. That'd be a way better, more healthy, I'll actually enjoy it more.
Right.
But I had to make myself be like, now like I was sitting there watching the sunset and then checking my phone and looking at the clock. And it's like, this is awful. But I remember the sunset. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't remember if I just wouldn't got drinks.
Dude, if there's something that I don't want to do and I make myself do it, I usually enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely.
You probably didn't want to go apple picking.
Right. I would have never picked that.
Yeah. I think that's where it comes in. I think that's where the wife or the girlfriend comes in. She does. She is that counteractive voice that goes, no, come on.
Right. We're going to do this.
All right. And then you get there and you have a great time.
You just have to turn off that voice, that half your brain that's like your guy friend's going, gay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's kind of stuck because then you can ruin it. Like you end up making a fight by like being a drag. Like, oh, we have to keep doing this.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't want to carry the picking basket or whatever.
Yeah. Every time you reach for an apple and you twist it, just gay. I just wondered that. You know, that we're getting older now. We're all three. You're married. You're engaged.
I'm just old, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, is it... If you would have told me 4 years ago, you know, that after brunch on Sunday, we would have taken a nice drive to the country to pick apples, I would have been like, no, you're out of your fucking mind.
Dude, I was in Texas, and Faber, my buddy Faber, just got a new oven fan over his oven. And he's like, check out how quiet this is. And it had three settings. I was blown away by it. I was like, oh my God, this isn't... If you would have tried to show me that at 22, I would have slapped you in your face. Like, right. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like,
an oven fan?
Yeah. But now I'm like, oh man, where did you get? Is that three settings? Holy shit, I can't even hear that. It's like a Prius. You have a Prius above you. I was so just amazed by it. It is an aging thing. Yep. It is. You start appreciating those weird things.
Because it's hard to accept it. Just like your tastes get different. Like you'd be telling that story to a 21-year-old dude, like, you'd be like, well, my girl gives the best head. And you're like, yeah, but when she burns your toast, does it stay in the air? Is the fan loud?
That's great.
You were living in New York for a little bit. You were writing on a TV show.
Yeah.
How was... I haven't been in New York in like 7 years. How was it?
I don't know. It was my first time spending a lot of time in New York. I was there for... 6 months total this year. It's crowded, and it brings out the worst in people. Like, you have to like constantly be like, it wants to kill your soul. Like, you, like, I found myself like wanting to, like, almost like when it was having a bad day one day, and this lady like bumped into me and then yelled at me, and I almost got in like a knife fight with this Puerto Rican lady. It was like both of us just having bad days, and it's like, right, it's just like, she might be a perfectly nice lady, but she just really wanted to come. Like, her boyfriend's like holding her back from fighting me on the stairs of a subway.
Really?
Yeah. You find yourself like an old lady is going up the stairs in front of you, and like, you're trying to catch a train, and you're like, everything in your soul to not yell at this old lady whose knee just hurts.
Right, yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'll catch the next train in 3 minutes, right? It's not the life or death, but like, this lady's leg hurts. Why am I mad at her? You know, it's like constantly that stuff. It's just like, it makes you feel like I'm already a bad enough person, you know?
I don't need a city to bring it out.
It's that East Coast vibe, man. Boston's like that too. Boston, yeah. I mean, after 2 a.m., you're either fucking or you're fighting, like, oh, in Boston. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, we were trying to get food after a show one night in Boston, and our little tour guide there, Tommy Dustin, the king of the city there, he was like, we got to get out of here. We got about 20 minutes or else we're going to fight. And we're like, yeah, okay, whatever. We're all like Midwest guys at the time. Yeah. And we're at a donut shop at fucking 2 in the morning. And sure enough, some guy was like, hey, what the fuck is your problem? And we're like, well, there it is. And then literally five dudes just started like a bar fight inside this donut shop. I'm like, hey, we're getting donuts. This should be the happiest time of your life. Like, late night donuts. And they're like, nope, fuck that. Some guy got thrown over a table. I'm like, well, we got to go.
I was at a game at Fenway once, and this guy... these two guys, everybody in Boston wears track pants everywhere.
Right, yeah.
Like, it is very track pants. Like a baseball game.
It's easy to get blood off.
Yeah, yeah. It's the most fashion unconscious town I've ever been. Like, yeah. Everybody's like everybody just goes out in Red Sox hats and track pants. Guys, girls, everybody. And so there's like a bar on the second level of Fenway where it's like made out of old bowling alley floors. I don't know. It has a history. I can't really remember. But like, I just like, I get a beer and I'm at the bar, and I'm just leaning there, and these guys, like two guys behind me, and everybody, like, it's just the voice sounded so aggressive, and I couldn't understand their like stupid fucking inbred Southie accent. Right. And it was like, they're like, anybody at the door? And but like in a really aggressive. Hey, I was like the caveman gibberish at me, and I couldn't understand what the fuck they were saying. And I finally like figured out the words they were saying, or can we belly up? Which I didn't like.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'd never heard that expression before. So, but they were still saying like, they're going to fight me if I did. So I just like slowly backed away and tried to like avoid eye contact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then they were just asking if they could get to the bar, but it's can we belly up to the bar?
Belly up to the bar. Like, yeah.
Oh.
Excuse me would have worked instead of like whatever it was they were fucking yelling at.
I'm trying to order a drink. Anything would have worked besides.
Yeah. These two guys are going to jump me at a baseball. Like,
yeah, it's a very aggressive city. Speaking of ladies with knives, the first time I was there, I took the girl I was dating, and we walked over. We were staying with my buddy, and we literally walked across the street to the grocery store. And as we were walking over, this crazy lady came out of a donut shop, because they're every 5 feet in Boston. And she's like, they won't let me use the restroom. And we're like, okay. And she's like tearing out of this place. And she's screaming at nothing, just in the air. They won't let me use the bathroom, these motherfuckers. And I'm like, okay, just eyes forward. Like, don't look at the crazy lady. And she literally runs up into my girlfriend's face and just starts screaming at her. They won't let me use the restroom. They won't let me. What the fuck? And, so I was like, don't look at her. Just she followed us all the way until mid-parking lot. And then I go, you got to go. And then she jumps on my face. She goes, what are you going to do? You fucking hit me? You're going to hit me? And I'm like, just please leave us alone. Like,
right.
And then so people start gathering around. And then she turned and goes, this guy hit me. This guy just hit me.
No.
And these guys started coming up. Like, hey, you hit this lady? And I'm like, I haven't. No. Like, this lady is crazy.
Have you seen my sweater?
I haven't done it. And she's fucking she has her keys out and she's like putting them in my face and she's like, I'll fucking kill you. You hit me again. This guy hit me. And luckily people were like, they started adding together like, oh, this lady's crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody hit her.
Right.
She's just a fucking crazy person. And so we just like walked into the store as fast as we could and she stayed outside and like this holy mob of shit. People were like, hey, it's okay, man. It's okay. I'm like, yeah, I hope so.
Could you imagine?
Those people would have just, it was a mob full of people in a parking lot. If they would have believed that I hit this lady.
Right.
I'm toast, man. That's how I die in Boston.
Oh, just no.
Car keys to the face and I'm angry mob on top of me.
It's not hateful that like, those fucking people are. God awful city. It's like that baseball game I was at, there was like thousands of people wearing shirts that said Jeter has AIDS. And the Red Sox were playing the Orioles. It wasn't even the
game. Oh, my God.
So they were just like making a homophobic Jeter's gay joke just into the ether. Like he wasn't even in the state.
Right, yeah.
Just like.
Just cuz. Yeah. That's what it is.
Meanwhile, Jeter's fucked more women than any man. Like,
yeah.
You ever heard there was like there used to be Reddit threads of like groupie hookup stories just about Derek Jeter.
Oh, really?
That he had like.
Is that the guy who gives them like care packages?
Yeah,
he
kept gift baskets. So when they left, he'd give them like a gift basket care package. And he would say stuff like when he'd be getting hit, he'd be saying, like, I guess he calls himself Jeets. He'd be like, yeah, Jeets. Yeah, Jeets.
No.
He's like, he's saying his own name while getting hit.
That's how you become the greatest. You know?
What kind of care? I was just trying to think if I did like what kind of care packages would you give women these days?
Yeah, what would you put?
Mints.
Four tickets to Flappers.
Flappers. These are only good in the Yoo-Hoo room.
Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights only in the Yoo-Hoo room.
A guest set? Give him a pay.
Give him a guest set?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. No, stop.
Oh, I see. They made eye contact like there's a story here.
Oh, fuck.
That's a different story.
I love it.
What's up with that guest set? Oh, my God. Fuck. I was looking at... So Halloween's coming up. And...
Everybody's
costumes?
Coming here.
Everybody's coming to my house.
Oh, you having the party again this year?
Yeah, we're having a party again this year. Are you coming?
Yeah, man. Give out the address on the podcast.
I almost did last week.
This is how
many people
you
think would show up if you did? Like maybe 3 or 5? How many people live in LA of your listeners, you think?
Our listeners in LA is, we get a couple hundred downloads here a week. Okay.
So if you give the address, probably 5-10 come, right? But the craziest ones.
I think if I plugged a show on air, 5 would come. If I plugged a Halloween party, all of them would come.
Right, yeah, of course.
You do get some cute girls in like sexy costumes here. They did last year anyway.
That is.
There also was a guy in blackface. I remember that last year.
There was a guy in blackface last year.
Everybody's like, no, buddy, what are you doing?
Holy shit.
This kind of idiot. He thought it was hilarious. He was a baseball player.
Yeah, who was?
Forget. I don't know, but he was like David Ortiz or something. He was just wearing blackface and a David Ortiz jersey. It's like, what do you need you have the jersey on. It says who you on the back of it.
We clearly know, yeah. It's sad when you have to tell somebody in Los Angeles not to show up in blackface.
Yeah.
That should just be implied.
Maybe they're like a method actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really committed to this David Ortiz.
The funny thing is, on the way over here, we were talking about who came with Dom, right? We went to the Clippers game before that. And walking through downtown LA, like away from Staples, I saw like 5 different people in blackface. They were all Kanye.
Holy
wait,
shit.
Yes. And I was like, and we're just talking, and then I get here, and I was like, oh, away from, like, I don't want to see, you know, awfulness like that. And there's another guy, and then I see a guy play, he literally takes out the charcoal or whatever you do it with, right. The painting, he starts putting on his black face in your backyard. Like, what are you doing, man? No.
Wow.
Oh, do you guys, do you have your Halloween costumes picked out already? You're not a big costume guy, are you?
No, I think before we were married, my wife had us do like a matching costume thing once, and I was like, and I told her, I was like, okay, this is the one. Like, I'm not doing this ever again.
Oh, you guys did a couple costumes?
Yeah, we did Charlie Brown and the little redhead girl.
Aww.
Oh, that's
like,
great.
You know, it's because they can't see me. I'm bald, so I literally let her draw a squiggle on my fucking head like an idiot. I was like, this is your one. This is your one. The bad things you do when you're married that you wouldn't
right,
do.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I'm not a child. I'm not dressing up. I don't care. I'm definitely not doing a matching costume like a.
Dude, I went trick or treating all the way up until I was like 19 years old. I was
did
one
you
of those
really?
Guys. Yeah, I was
you
definitely.
Were that guy?
I mean, yeah, we would just go and. Oh, it was the best. Looking back now, I'm like, whoa, why'd I do it?
Right, because you know the feeling of the house. Like,
Mark is so judging me.
You're 30,
right?
What are you doing?
I wish you could have seen the look at you. He was like, what? I thought you were better than this.
What's the best costume that you've ever had?
Oh, man.
I don't think I've ever had a good one. I never cared that much.
Yeah. I used to, every year, I'd insist that my mom dress me up as a woman for like
God.
3 years in a row for Halloween.
That was just a Memorial Day.
My mom had
Valentine's Day, Arbor Day,
which is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
My mom had three boys and she wanted a daughter so bad. And so every year for like 3 years in a row, I wanted to go as a woman.
Oh,
and she
God.
Was like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, she was more than happy to do it. You know what I mean?
Did you tuck?
I was like 9. I didn't have to. Did I tuck?
I love it. Did you go apple picking when you were? I would dress up like a lady and then make my brothers go apple picking.
That shit wouldn't fly though nowadays. Could you like going as a woman now for Halloween?
With yeah, you can use the restroom anywhere. You just have to. You
could. I mean, would it be seen as you making fun? Unless you like, maybe people think you're making fun of transgender
right.
women.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, in this day and age, sure. Yeah, right. I mean, everybody is so.
I think if you did it well, if you went all in, it'd be like a cool drag outfit. Like, you ever been to like a drag show? Those guys are amazing. They get really super intense.
Yeah.
They actually look like, you know, whatever character they're doing.
Right. So we did this last year. This time we did the most offensive. Because every year.
Right, yeah.
People come up with the most offensive Halloween costumes
right.
that they can come up with.
Let me, let's guess first. Let's be a Mike guess.
So the number one, you guessed the number one most offensive costume of 2016.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's Kardashian, Kim Kardashian bound and gagged. Right?
Yeah. It's a costume.
From the robbery.
Wow.
It's Kim Kardashian. It comes with a fake diamond ring. It comes with sunglasses. And it comes with like rope, and she's like tied up and gagged.
Holy shit!
And,
have you seen the rumors that the story?
Yeah,
that
is
right for saying that she faked it?
Is it fake or real? Like, what?
I don't know. It's like I heard, like Huffington Post reported it was fake, but I know they're not legit or whatever. Totally, but
yeah, they keep saying there's some kind of lawsuit or something against them, saying because they faked it or whatever.
She's gonna sue some. Kim says she's gonna sue everybody. Said it's fake.
Oh, really? So that's the one that people are, and this company did it and they thought it was hilarious. And like people, like the backlash on it was so insane. Like people were so mad and cause they thought it was so insensitive to Kim Kardashian.
Mm.
So they had to pull that. Number two,
it's going to be something about police shootings.
No, I didn't see anything.
Okay.
On that. Oh my God. Oh no. God, that's real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this got Walmart in trouble. It's the tranny granny. Which
oh
kind of goes
God.
Back to what we were saying.
Yeah.
It's basically a stereotypical old lady in a floral print dress, gray slippers, thick glasses, that promises to have the room roaring with laughter, according to the product description.
That's like a Madea.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Does it come with a blackface for Madea? Is that an option?
The costume features an exaggerated behind and saggy oversized breasts to complete the look. What really got him in trouble was the name Tranny Granny.
Yeah,
why can't it just be,
You would think somebody in marketing would be like, hey, this first word might land us into some trouble.
Right.
Nope. totally went through.
Well, they couldn't Google it on their work computers.
Wow. Granny.
See, people, this thing about the blackface thing, it's like, it's a bad costume, right? Like, if you dress up like as a granny, you're dressing up as a granny. The whole thing, you're pretending to be a granny.
Right.
You're not pretending. You're not, just because you're a dude doesn't make you a transsexual for...
Right.
Like, right.
If you dress up like David Ortiz, you're David Ortiz. You don't need,
you don't need the blackface.
You need the blackface to make your costume work, then it's you're just bad at costumes. You know?
The third one.
Imagine thinking like, what's the defining characteristic of Kanye? His blackface.
Right?
Like that's like step one, right?
The third one is a Zika virus costume.
A Zika virus costume. So
it's a costume where it's a mosquito and it says Zika virus on it. Hilarious.
Of course.
That doesn't offend me. What is it? I mean...
people are, I guess, overseas are mad because so many people are dying.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a frame of reference for that. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a bunch of babies that are turning.
Yeah, up. if you dress up as Hurricane Matthew or something like that, like, I don't think you can.
In Haiti.
Yeah, exactly. In
Haiti. Sexy Harambe costumes.
Oh man, this Harambe thing has got to stop.
That's not, like, that's not offensive, right? Who's the gorilla community?
Oh, the gorillas, man.
I think the fact that they made it a sexy. I think it's just like what you said. It's just offensive because it's a bad costume.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They put tranny in front of it. It's tranny, Harambe, sexy costume. It's just too far.
Forget the sexy part. What makes it Harambe is like a gorilla costume, but with a baby to carry around.
Yeah, and like blood on it.
Okay.
Wow.
You got to help me with the last name. Ryan
Lochte.
Yeah.
That's people are pissed
the
about
swimmer,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He comes with a Speedo. And a silver hair wig, and then
I don't get why that's offensive.
And it says the label is no matter what mischief you cause at night, it can all be blamed on the fake Rio police robbing you at gunpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I know Brazilians are. My wife was down at Dancing with the Stars when they when these Brazilian protesters tried to rush the stage and they had to cut a commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So like, people in Brazil are really mad at him for making their country look bad.
Well, yeah.
Country's falling
but
apart.
But he's just a fuck up. He's not. Yeah. I don't think that's offensive. I think you're just dressing up as a fuck up. Like, I don't think you're offending anyone. Right. I think you're just
if you're a dude with a great body. It's an excuse to wax your chest. Right. Walk around a Halloween party to Speedo. Right.
That was the thing last year at a Halloween party. Three dudes were in their underwear last year.
Of course.
Of course they are. Like, I'm not gonna lie, if I was in better shape, fuck yeah, dude. I would be a half naked costume. That's why I don't get mad at these guys who are
Gladiator,
like
Gladiator.
Yeah, anything. Like, these people are like, oh, he's half naked on Instagram. Like, dude, if you had fucking eight pack abs, I wouldn't own a shirt. I would be that guy. I would just walk around like, yeah, this is what I got.
Be your closer.
Yeah.
Accidentally find a way to lift up your shirt.
Oops. I'm not mad at those guys.
Comedians with abs. Awesome. I would too, man. I certainly would too.
Fuck it.
I just did the 30 day ab challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just finished this thing that I've been doing. It's the 30, and it's like all I wanted to do yesterday was like, I was like looking at myself in the mirror. I was like, I could totally put this on Instagram. Like, I'm not gonna, but I totally could right now.
Yeah, you can put it on Snapchat at least.
Yeah.
That's what Snapchat's for. For ab chat.
The last one. Oh, there's two. There's two that's tied for the last. Dead David Bowie or Prince?
Okay. Which, yeah, all right.
But see, why the dead part? Like,
yeah, just goes Prince. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like a zombie, like a Prince zombie.
Oh, that's fun. I think.
I think it's great, like a zombie David Bowie. But no, and then and a new costume that's got people in trouble is the anorexia costume that they're selling.
Oh, get the fuck out!
How do you go as anorexia?
It's a skeleton. It's like a sexy skeleton costume with a tape measure around the stomach part.
Oh, God.
So those are the most offensive for 2016.
Did you see that thing that Triumph the Dog did? I know this is not like that shouldn't be your news source, but like, did you see that new story from Triumph the Dog?
He's your Walter Cronkite. Yeah.
Exactly.
Most trusted.
That's the world I live in. Yeah. But he did the college interview with the kids in Maine where they were talking about what this PC nation that we're living in, and he's like, we're not even allowed to use the term freshman anymore. They want to be called first year students.
Stop.
Yeah, like all this crazy stuff. And I feel like some of those costumes tie into that where you're like, really, you can't go as anorexia?
Right.
Because it might offend somebody. You're like, okay, yeah, whatever. But like, yeah, they don't want to be called first year students. So what he did was they brought in this big, fat, black dude with a perm and all this stuff. And then they asked him, they said, well, this guy just stole some stuff on campus. We need you to describe him to a police sketch artist. And they brought in a police sketch artist. And all these, like, PC students were like, he was a man of size. And he's like, a man of size? Yeah, that's going to help you fucking find him. Sure. And they're like, yeah, well, do you know what? Anything else about him? And they're like, yeah, well, he had...
He listens to Kanye.
Yeah. And it was like, sometimes you need to be like, yeah, it was a white guy with a lazy eye. Yeah.
That's idiotic. They're talking about like basic descriptors of people's physical.
Right, yeah.
It's not like none of them are, like saying somebody's black isn't pejorative. It's
right.
It's a category of like appearance.
Right, know? Exactly. Yeah.
It might not be the most accurate word, but everyone knows what you're saying when you.
Right.
But like the anorexia thing is like I'm. Yeah, be tougher, but also I'm not gonna like if somebody is offended by it, it's not me, but like I'm not gonna fight for some idiot's right.
No, yeah,
exactly. Anorexia.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing. Like
my grandfather served in this
career. Yeah, so I could wear this sexy skeleton outfit to TGI Fridays on October 31st.
Did I still
eat candy corn and drink a margarita?
I still talk to friends back in the Midwest, and they don't get that the progression of our culture where it's like, yeah, you can't say, you know, fag or anything like that. Right. That is offensive to some people, and it does affect people and this and that, and you shouldn't use that term. And they're like, why not? And so I've been using it, and you're like, you don't get it. Like, you're not, like that.
But
like,
take it personally, like you're saying they're a bad person, so therefore right. You must argue for the word. Like, it's like, no, you right. Just like learn. I mean.
I can say whatever I want. And right. You're like,
just
but
you
why
have,
would you?
Yeah, just
that's
you
the thing.
It,
you, yeah, just because you have it and just because you can doesn't mean you should.
I used to, because I'm from the South, I used to have people like, well, how come they can say the A-word, not kids? Why do you want to?
Why do you want to? Yeah, exactly.
What are you
fighting for?
It? Yeah, like.
Right.
This is what you're gonna. This is the hill you want to die on. Is your
N-word. My grandfather.
Right. Yeah. I really don't understand the mentality. Like the only thing I've ever wanted to be in life is better. Like I don't understand. Like I just want to be a better person.
Right.
And if this is like if this is where we are headed, then yeah. Like I'm all on board.
Right.
Yeah.
And he also misunderstands. Like, well, you can't even say it. Well, you can say it.
Right.
Nobody's gonna be friends with you.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The Constitution doesn't make other people be friends with you. You know, you can tweet whatever you want, dummy.
You were just back in the Midwest last week.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it was, you know, it was great. I love the Midwest. I love going home. But it's also you do realize the pacing and everything like that. Like, I realize I could never move back there.
Really?
Yeah, because of the pacing and the diversity and everything that's out here, it's just a different world, man. Mm-hmm. It is. I don't want to sound whatever, but it is like things are in slow motion back there. It feels like because you're coming from such a busy city to Applebee's and Walmart's,
right?
And you're like, okay, well, what do you guys do tonight? And it's like, well, the bar closes at midnight, and you're like, what? They're like, you know, there's not, you can't even eat after 10 p.m. in half the cities,
right? Yeah, yeah.
So it's frustrating to be there once you're used to the pacing of this city,
yeah,
it's hard to go back.
See, I always romanticize about like, oh, I would love to just
Applebee's,
go to bed at 10.
You think that, and you're there for 3 days, and you're like, I'm going to shoot myself.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I love visiting. I love going back. Of course, I have tons of friends and family back there. I love seeing everybody, but I could never move back.
That you've changed since you've been there, or do you think the town's changed?
I think that I've changed.
You've changed.
Yeah, I think the town is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the problem is the town is exactly the same as when I left when I was fucking 19 or whatever.
Right.
And no matter how many times you go back or whatever you've learned or whatever you've kind of progressed within yourself, that town is still that town.
I try not to be like a big I don't know, geographical snob, because like, I live in enough different places, like lived in Southern Virginia and then Dallas and then, you know, here and then New York a bit. And it's like, people are generally the same, but then I read this other stat, and you might want to edit this out, Justin, but like the Trump's biggest voting block is people that never moved away from the town they grew up in. And I'm like, oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because travel creates empathy. You meet different types of people and you're like, oh, well, they're not that bad. And this person's not that bad. And things are.
Right.
Yeah. And that is the thing. You know, we are blessed to be traveling so much and we do meet, 200 strangers a night or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you are a part of that diversity and part of those different cultures. And so when you do come back home to the person that's never left or just goes to work and goes to bed, it's hard to be like, no, man, black people are cool. Yeah. And they're like, what are you talking about? Gay people aren't evil. What?
What? No.
You're like, no, man, this is life. Like,
get out of this Applebee's.
Right. Yeah. It's different.
The funniest moment of the debate was like this, middle-aged black dude ask a question about whatever it was, and Trump immediately pivoted to, I'm going to make the inner city safe. Like, he just saw.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, just all black guys?
Yeah, all black people don't live in the ghetto. Plus, I mean, it's like, go walk around Crown Heights in Brooklyn, man. It's like art galleries and nice, cute Jamaican restaurants, and it's awesome. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big world out there, and they just refuse to accept it or to see it, you know? I really don't understand that.
Right.
It's almost like it's a fear, I think. You know, it is, they are sucked into whatever the television is saying. It is, you know, it is a nation of fear right now. Mm-hmm. And
I grew up on the East Coast, and here's the one thing I've realized, speaking of geographical snobbery, is like, I prefer the Pacific time zone. Something like the pace of it, like what the time shows come on, and football starts at 10 a.m.
Right, yeah.
You know, like the NBA Finals game start at 4:30 p.m., you know? Right, it's like, yeah. I just like the Pacific time zone. I don't know. It's like weird, the rhythm of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a totally different pacing out here.
Did you guys watch the debates the other night?
Oh God, of course.
Because I know you guys are both political guys. I'm not a super political dude.
Right.
But I did tune in. And
you watched?
I did watch.
I'm so proud of you.
Just because I like train wrecks. You know what I mean? Like, I love to see people go off cuff, and I love to see people go off book like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
then you are voting for Trump. Here's the thing. I'm so sick of people telling me there's nobody to vote for. There's nobody to vote for this. There's nobody. And you're like, yeah, there's a clear choice.
Right.
And I keep telling, my argument is, if you don't like Hillary Clinton, you don't want to, then don't vote for her.
Right.
Then don't vote for the policies and the beliefs that you want and the America that you want to live in. If it is an America that has no Muslims or blacks or gun laws or gay weddings or abortions and all, then vote Trump. Like, that's right. The America you want to live in. That's fine. That's your choice and that's whatever. But that's not the America that I want. I want to go on this. I want to stay on the track that we're on. And
as a comic, it's funny to me because like, we all know that like, it's a weird thing that happens. Like, if somebody, like, one table can ruin a comedy show, right?
Yeah.
And it can, like, and you're expected to handle it, and people will blame you if the show doesn't go well. But, like, there's literally nothing you can do if people won't shut up.
Right, yeah.
And then you watch, like, a debate, and, like, it's like, he makes it crazy and negative and whatever. And, like, oh, these politicians, they're negative. It's like, well, she just accused her husband of rape, right? Like, what is the correct way to handle that situation? Like,
right.
Pivot to the environment? You know, yeah. Like, what is the... Like, it's like if he's shitting his hand and threw it at her, it'd be like, last night Hillary and Trump got in a shit throwing fight. You know, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
Like, both sides do it. Gotta hear both sides.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about watching the debates is watching Donald Trump. Trump's like, he's like when you're doing comedy and they ask you to stretch.
Yeah.
and you're way past the material that you've had written. And you're like, well, I'm just going to start talking now.
Yeah.
See, what else is going on? Yeah.
What do you guys do? Inner cities, huh?
My favorite was in the opening when they were asking about his lewd comments and if he was truly sorry and this and that. And then he pivoted to ISIS somehow. They were like... Like, yeah, you said it was okay to grab women by the pussy and you could kiss women whenever and grope women. And this is like, these are like lewd comments. And he's like, yeah, we got to stop ISIS. I've already apologized for grabbing women by the pussy. ISIS is going to grab. And you're like, what?
When he started going off about Aleppo, I just really wish that moment they had like Martha Raddatz had pulled out like a map.
Right.
And was like, so show us just the vicinity of where Syria is.
Right. Like pin the tail on the donkey of a trumpet. You can just get close. We'll give you a cupcake.
You guys are talking about the lewd comments of the grab him by the pussy thing. How long has someone been sitting on that audio?
Well, I mean,
the story that, I mean, who knows, but that it was a story that came out 2 weeks ago about they interviewed a bunch of people who used to work on The Apprentice, and they were talking about
all the stuff he was saying there,
or whatever. And then that sparked a memory in a sound engineer who then remembered it and went and found it.
Because,
I mean, not a lot of people are listening to, I don't know if you ever really work on a show, like that kind of B roll, this hundreds of hours of it. You're mic'd up and you're shooting all day and they're just running, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, those of you who don't work in the industry, the first thing you learn in television is don't run your fucking mouth on a live mic because
that mic is always on.
There are hundreds of people listening to it.
Right. Yep.
You have to be either the cockiest bastard in the world or a grade A moron.
Yeah.
To like.
So they yell cut, your mic's still on. And
There's a sound engineer who's responsible for looping. And there's like anybody that has a headset in a control room or whatever, they probably had another bus. Like, it's like the people who are like, he didn't know he was mic'd up. Yes, because that was a setup shot. The whole thing was they were going to show the bus arriving and him getting.
Right.
He had just gotten on that bus and they backed the bus up. Might have been their fifth take, right?
Right.
Of him getting off and hugging that dick.
And plus, you have a lapel mic on. To say that he didn't know his mic on. He had it's a box that clips onto your belt and then it wraps through your shirt. You have to take it up.
He had to unbutton his shirt to put the mic on.
To say that he didn't know was like, no, now you're just straight. Like, they didn't just he fell asleep on the bus and quick, mic him. it is a thing. You have to there are steps involved in getting mic'd up.
Yeah.
You gotta watch, you haven't seen enough of the newscast, the news reporters who after they stop.
Those are the best.
They're
still
talking, what?
Those are the best is when you see them talking about plans later or something so Kathy, you're gonna get wasted tonight? Or we're still running.
Your husband's still out of town.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Keep fucking that chicken. You ever seen that one?
Those are always the best.
I got a couple of stories here that I wanted to do. First, before we do though, I want to talk about this thing that happened the other day. So I don't know if you guys know, this is a thing now. I know we have a lot of listeners in California, so this is kind of like a public service announcement. Have you guys heard about people? My girlfriend, her birthday was a couple of weeks ago, and her grandmother sent her a birthday card with money.
Yeah.
And when it got to my girlfriend's house, the card had been opened and the money had been taken. Right.
That's why you don't send cash, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's a thing now that, especially in East Los Angeles, they actually have signs and postings in the post office to make sure that you send it direct. You don't leave it in the.
Well, yeah, I think that's. I mean, that's always been the rule.
I've never heard of that before.
You've never heard of that before.
People get a sticky thing. They go into the post office thing. And they just go and they grab people's letters on a pole.
Yeah, because if it looks like a birthday card,
card or a purple envelope.
Especially during graduation time,
God.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
You just clean house. Yeah, I had money stolen in a card once, and I had to tell old people don't under it was my grandma too. She sent me money a 20 or something like that for my birthday or something, and I was like, yeah, that card didn't make it. You know, that doesn't happen. You know,
that's my
You're from
mind.
Detroit though, right?
Ohio.
The mailman doesn't stop. They just drive through at 40 miles an hour and throw a mail out the window.
Exactly.
My mind would never even go there to
send you something.
they airdrop the mail into Detroit.
Yeah.
It's like a war zone.
She had to call her grandmother and thank her for the card and then go, by the way, was there any...
That's always awkward.
Is there money in there?
You know, maybe that's the plan. Maybe you just send a card to somebody, and then when they call you, you're like, wait, there was $100. You didn't get my $100? Oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
There's $300 in there.
Your grandpa and I just
my wife her anniversary card in the mail. There was a diamond earrings in there.
Oh, baby.
God damn it.
I'm so
romantic
sorry.
To open a letter.
North Hollywood.
Yeah, it's like I'm away fighting a war, you right. know, it's like you're just getting letters.
It's just like
letters.
The notebook. I wrote you all these letters.
You didn't get
any of the letters? I wrote you a letter every day for a year.
It's our Los Angeles public service announcement. Not even fucking birthday cards are safe out here. So I had these two news stories that I wanted to tell with you guys. The first one is, I'm just going to read that headline for you and you guys can comment. Alleged rapist says his penis is too small for him to rape anyone.
Donald Trump, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's not going to, it doesn't matter.
What is it like?
It's too small.
So I've never been a lady, nor have I been sexually assaulted.
Sure.
But I think the problem is the psychological part of it,
yeah.
not the actual.
Right, I don't think it's right.
The. It doesn't matter how little you were penetrated, right? It's not like
right.
It's not like we probably. I've had a dick before, and I'll take a dick again, right? But like, it's not the existence of a dick that fucking bothers me. It's right. the another person
the,
like controlling
the unwanted
your
dick. Yeah,
right. It's so the assault that goes with it.
This dude, Roshop is his last name. In Canada, he's currently on trial for allegedly sexually assaulting. Two women, and his lawyer is trying a new argument this week. She's telling the jury that he pleads not guilty. His physical measurements would have prevented him from committing these crimes. His defense is his hernia makes it too painful to have sex. His stomach is too large, and his penis is way too small. The wow. lawyer for the 44-year-old alleged rapist called in a
Did she run this defense by him before she said it in court?
She called in. That's great. She called in a registered nurse to testify his measurements.
I'd rather go to jail, man. Yeah. All right, yeah. Even if all that's true, it's like just put me in jail.
Put me in prison.
Defense is worse than the crime. What kind of life are you going back to in the outside world? You're the tiny dick hernia haver. I'm too fat and my dick's too little.
Yeah.
The nurse testifies that with a 66 inch waist, 5 foot 6 inches, 31 inch thighs, and 1 inch penis, 2 inches when erect, jury members were also given naked photographs of the man during his trial.
Holy shit, dude.
He didn't remember his lawyer, but he definitely bullied her in high school.
She found him up. I'm gonna do this pro bono. Don't worry about it.
I'm gonna take this case for you. Don't worry, sweetheart. That's great.
I'm just gonna take the time. Yeah. I just lock me up.
Wow.
So let's say this dude gets off, and that was a poor choice of words, but let's say he's not convicted. So where does he go? Like he goes in a job interview and he's like, well, do you have a record? No, but still don't Google me.
Right. The charges were dropped, but.
Yeah.
But the memories stayed.
And then the second one, this is in China. A boss caught on camera forcing female employees to kiss him every morning before work begins.
What now?
A boss has been caught on camera demanding that every female employee kisses him on the mouth before starting work.
Wait, are your bosses not supposed to make you do that?
That's why I've gotten every job in Hollywood.
I have some retroactive complaints to file.
So the boss has been caught on camera demanding that every female employee kiss him on the mouth before starting work. The man claimed to staff that kissing breeds a positive working environment between workers and bosses.
Hookers don't even kiss. that rule wouldn't even work at the Bunny Ranch.
That's great. Yeah, what kind of job? What is he doing?
He is seen forcing workers to kiss him at the brewery machine company in Beijing, China, which runs every morning between 9 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Female workers line up to kiss him, the China Press reports. It is claimed that while they are reluctant to do so, they fear they could lose their jobs. He has been slammed on social media, however, after footage of the bizarre routine emerged, but he claimed that kissing helps foster good relationships among colleagues.
Wow. Does he do it with the male employees, too? Does everybody at the factory have to...
Get in here, Ted.
Ted, don't you try to run for me.
I love, like... my favorite thing is bullshit, like... Because, like bullshit's neither true nor false, right? Like that guy's excuse is true. Kissing does improve.
Right, yeah.
But it's, like, beside the point.
Right.
It's like, that's not the problem, bro. I'm sure it helped you start your day off on the positive note.
He's like, yeah, I feel great. I got a lot of shit done. I just made out with 300 women. This is Today's great. I love Mondays. He's the only guy that loves Mondays.
He's the only guy that...
Totally doesn't understand Garfield at all.
Yeah, he's like, I don't get it.
Weekend suck, man.
This cat's just miserable.
Oh, God.
Maybe this cat should make out with that dog. He'd feel way better.
Oh, shit. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for coming out, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I know it's kind of early for us.
Sorry for all the stuff you have to edit out.
No, I'm not editing out anything. I'm not. Yeah, that's fine. What do you got? So how can people find you on social media and stuff?
Just at Mark Agee on Twitter.
Please follow Mark on Twitter. It's the
so
funniest
funny.
Shit. You're
it's so funny
tweets.
On Twitter. Holy shit. Oh, well, in life, too. I don't know. Right. He's so I'm funny
mostly,
on Twitter.
Mostly funny on paper. Not so good in reality.
Follow Mark at Mark Agee on Twitter. Do you have anything coming up next week that you want to plug? This episode will be up on Monday.
Nah.
No, okay. just Twitter.
I got nothing. Yeah.
And it. to my beautiful co-host Malone, thank you for coming on
Can
today.
You post
thank
a
you.
Picture of Malone's sweater like, somewhere.
That's the first thing you noticed when you walked in. What was Malone's sweater? Yeah. It's his Midwest sweater.
I'm in a boots, skinny jeans, sweater. Mark Agee's in shorts,
camo shorts, yeah.
Some Chucks.
Like, came from the gym, man.
We're so opposite.
Yeah. How would you describe? It's a cardigan, but like it has like a modern like a hip collar.
It's like a Santa Fe cardigan.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
And the kind of thing like if you had like a sitcom where like it was like an ad firm with a cool boss. In there.
That sits backwards on that makes you kiss him in the morning.
Yeah. That's great. I run a law firm in Soho.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a practice right on the beach. This is yeah. Where.
How could Malone, how could people find at Malone Comedy?
Everything's at Malone Comedy. Yeah, for sure.
You got anything coming up next week?
I don't. I'm
you're in town for a while.
Yeah,
right?
My tour starts up in November. Ooh. So you can check out my podcast if you'd like.
Yes.
At Punched Up. Everything's at Punched Up. So punchedupodcast.com. If you like shows like Serial and Radiolab and stuff like that, it's like that only with comedians. So
yeah, that's it's a really interesting concept. It's like a NPR type of storytelling, Serial type of podcast. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoy sharing these guys have such interesting, crazy stories that most of them are really personal. Like Bill Blank talks about the first his first kiss and how it set off this anxiety inside him and where he got to the point where. He was so depressed he would rather kill himself than like move on with life because he was like and it was all sparked from this anxiety of having his first kiss and stuff like that. So wow. These are like really personal stories that you're not going to hear a lot of.
Who was his boss?
He worked at a Chinese restaurant.
That's wonderful.
Chinese food. All right, so check out Mark Agee on Twitter at Mark Agee. Check out Punched Up Podcast on iTunes. Follow Malone at Malone Comedy for our show. Go to fosterthepodcast.com. Subscribe to Foster the Podcast on iTunes. Shout out to Ivan, our awesome sound guy, for making us sound amazing. Shout out to Jennifer on Twitter, who just is just an awesome fan. So I wanted to show her some love. And give us a good rating on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a nice review. It helps us in the search engines on there. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.